Every week, on average, a cruise ship carrying 1,700 guests will produce up to 60,000 gallons of sewage.
After lunch, the group of Ketchikan business owners, elected officials, media, and municipal employees watched a short video in one of the ship's theaters. It explained how much waste the floating cities produce and what they do to manage it.
We have an environmental officer on each of our ships who provides environmental training and oversees shipboard compliance with environmental laws, regulations, industry standards, and company policies.
Adrian Daniels is the Zaandam's environmental officer. After the video, he took us through a door where opulence ends and utility begins. Gone was the lush carpet, replaced with a painted metal floor. We walked up to a door with a keycard lock.
Oh, we're just going to go into the engine control room, okay, without sort of stating obviously the obvious, please just don't touch anything.
Thank you.
No pushing buttons.
About 95% of the ship's automated systems are controlled from here, with three people minimum on watch at all times. Alexis Varon is the senior watchkeeper and is in charge of the ship's wastewater plant.
All the black water and gray water that comes from the cabins, it pumped by jet pumps.
Black water is anything flushed in a toilet. Gray water is pretty much everything else, whatever goes down a sink or shower drain, for example. Varon explains that the Xenon brand wastewater system mixes those together and treats both the same. The water is sent into a filtration system to separate solids. The liquid is sent into a bioreactor and membrane filtration system to further filter impurities. Then there's a final step.
It goes also on your UV filter to kill all the germs in there. And then it depends if you're going to go by overboard or keep it on the ballast tank so we can pump it out outside the outside 12 miles.
The Zaandam, with its advanced wastewater treatment system, is one of the ships the state allows to discharge continuously, including when it's docked next to a community. A local resident asked Daniels, what is discharged in port?
We discharge permeate.
And what is permeate?
It's been through the reactor, it's been sterilized, and then it's like clear water. And it's tested twice a month. By laboratory, and we also have a random unannounced sampling on it as well to check for the criteria within that permeate.
Daniel says that testing looks at levels of bacteria and dissolved metals. He says they meet international, federal, and state regulations for discharge, and he says the permeate meets standards for drinking water. But is that enough?
That may be the case for human drinking water standards, but they may be releasing concentrated levels of metals that are completely intolerable to baby salmon, for example.
Michelle Ridgway is a marine ecologist who grew up in Ketchikan and now lives in Juneau. Those are two of the largest cruise ship towns along Alaska's Inside Passage. She also was a member of the State Cruise Ship Science and Technical Panel. In that role, she examined state regulations governing cruise waste and emissions and the procedures ships use to manage it. Ridgway's concerned about newer state regulations allowing discharge near shore and in port, even if the water is clear and meets drinking water standards.
Water can be crystal clear and contain quite a number of chemicals. Heavy metals, such as copper, has been one of the constituents of the wastewater that's of particular concern for us in Alaska.
That's because even a little bit of copper can harm a salmon's sense of smell, and they use smell to find their way back to the correct stream for spawning.
And we certainly know that how much we love our king salmon, and I don't know about some areas in southeast, but in the north area, we have seen a major decline in king salmon recently.
Ridgway says other marine animals are affected by dissolved metals. Krill is one example, and that's an important food source for many ocean creatures, including whales. Ridgway also questions how effective the systems are at removing tiny particles such as viruses and pharmaceutical residue. So what should the ships do to reduce their impact? Well, she suggests cutting back on the amount of water used, along with continuing to improve onboard treatment systems. That includes better controls on temperature and acidity of wastewater to make sure ships aren't adding to ocean acidification or warming waters. Ridgway says she's definitely not anti-cruise ship.
I was raised in a maritime and fisheries culture of Alaska. I love ships, shipping, and I'm thrilled that people get to come to Alaska to enjoy wild Alaska.
But she says the cruise industry needs to do everything it can to maintain the wild Alaska that its customers come to see. The cruise lines, at least according to the video, seem to recognize that as well.
Keeping the ocean safe and clean is good for the environment. It's good for global ecosystems. It's good for plant life. It's good for animals. It's good for our guests. It's good for our crews, and it's good for business.
In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.